Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hostess with the absolute mostest to the stage. You're probably wondering, why are you talking to us and saying things? Well, Caroline and I became very, very fast friends. I moved to Nashville about 10 years ago from Baltimore, Maryland. Anyone know Maryland? It's a state where people live. Wow, this is really a real tough crowd tonight. So anyway, I came here, I didn't know anyone, and Caroline is one of those people who she's kind of like sunshine in a bottle. And so she walks into a room and she lights up any room she walks into. And so she walked into the office, I was the front desk girl, and she goes, "Hi, I'm Caroline." And I was like, whoa, it's a lot, it's 8 a.m., but hi, I'm Amara, and we've pretty much been friends ever since, but what's really, really cool for me is I remember when she was thinking about, am I good enough to do this thing, this podcast thing? Will people listen? Will people care? And you guys being here today is a testament to that, and so I want to give Caroline a shout out for following her heart after her career did a left turn, a right turn, a U-turn, came back to now. So shout out to Caroline Hobby one time for following her dreams. You guys being here, we just really appreciate it. And I'm gonna drop a little spoken word for you. I hope that's okay. Okay, cool. So I used to feel I could never let my guard down, let love in. See, we created these walls because ain't no one else protecting. See, I gotta get mine. I was never worried about the next man. Could care less, ain't think about who I was affecting. So I act tough as nails, hammer in hand to get respected. That money is power, I chase after her, expecting that my paper would make me feel any less neglected. See, I always been able to blend, but why do I feel so rejected? Been fronting so long, me, myself, and I, we're not connected. So I'm losing my mind. Erratic nature is starting to set in. I try to claw my way back, fighting my own depression. Insecurity crept in. Now I'm reminded of what I'm lacking. See, negativity is always on his game, throws all kind of distractions. But he's not sharp or clever. He uses the same tactics, all created to confuse and induce a reaction. But it's important to remember, CMA close up stage, people of the audience, that we gotta keep stepping. K, Can I hear you just say, keep stepping? Keep stepping. Keep stepping. Okay, well done, well done. Well, without further ado, because I can see you're on the edge of your seats and you're salivating for this, will you guys, I'm not gonna bring her out though until you get a little bit more crunk for me. So when I say get, y'all say real, get, get. When I say get, y'all say real, get, get. Okay, this is good, this is good, this is good. I'm feeling it. Caroline Hobby, will you please join us on the CMA close-up stage? Yeah.
I love Amara so much. Is she not amazing?
This is my mic, okay? Now, I'm going to bring up her guests for us today. Does anyone know that usually behind every male artist that you know and love, there is a beautiful, strong, powerful woman behind them, holding them upright?
Truth,
do you know what
truth.
I'm saying? Is it true? Michael? It's true, it's true, it's true. So I'm gonna bring our first guest to the stage. She has cut her teeth as a videographer, a director, a producer, a photographer in her own right. She's got a podcast that she's just started up called Coffee with Kaylee. She
Woo!
Is a badass. And I would like to welcome to the stage Kaylee Dickerson.
Woo, 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 woo,
show your love, show your love, show your love.
Kaylee!
Raise the roof for her, raise the roof. Do people still do that? Do people still raise the roof?
Amara, okay. You're the hippest of us all. You would
cool.
know.
Cool, cool, cool. Now, next, do I have any Lady A fans out there?
Woo! 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 Woo!
Okay, so I'm actually just going to go ahead and bring her to the stage right now. Cassie Kelly.
Woo!
Come on out here, girl.
Hey, Cassie!
Take your seat. we ready to do this?
I think we're ready to do this.
Okay.
Let's give Amara a round
Woo-hoo!
Of applause.
Yes.
Thank you for emceeing your spoken word.
Thank
and
you.
Lebo for kicking it off. Okay. Amara, I just hate to see you go. You're so much fun. Her energy
hey.
Is like next level.
Go on and let these people know the truth, okay?
Okay. Hey, you guys. Thank y'all for being here. Y'all having a great CMA Fest? Did any of y'all watch Trisha? Yes. Okay, the queen. Great. I am so happy to be here with Kaylee and Cassie.
Thanks for having us.
Y'all are both so beautiful inside and out. We have been friends now for a long time. And I am just thrilled to, I've always loved getting to share, like Amara was saying, there always is an incredible woman. Y'all have very incredible husbands who a lot of us know, Russell Dickerson and Charles from Lady A. But the women behind the men are really, in my opinion, a lot of times the force of nature that makes the whole thing run. I mean, not the whole thing, but you know. So I have known y'all both before y'all's husbands were your husbands. I interned with Charles when he was forming Lady A. I was working with Victoria Shaw and Hillary and Charles and Dave were all getting together. So I've kind of gotten to see that whole thing evolve. And I always thought you were the most beautiful woman and like the first real wife to document your experience of being a road wife. And that was before really Instagram or anything was going on. And you started a blog, Womanista. And you chronicled what it was like being on the road. Did you follow? Did you?
Oh, 100%.
And y'all have been friends forever,
for
too.
Sorry,
yeah.
guys.
So what was that like when you first started, when there was no Instagram and you started Womanista? Because you went on to sell it for, you sold it for such, you were like high-powered woman, like starting this blog, selling it before anyone was doing it. What was it like as one of the first to start this documentation of road life?
Well, just to back it up a little bit from there, my background and what I did for my 9-to-5 job was as a publicist in Nashville. I was doing music publicity. And then when it kind of became apparent that it was going to be really hard to work Monday through Friday and then have a weekend off while my husband was actually working on the weekends, like it wasn't going to mesh so well to actually see each other, I retired from music publicity and really just wanted to find a creative outlet that was exciting for me. And I didn't even really care if, like, I was the only person reading it. You know, it was like I love to write, and it was exciting. I love to travel and to kind of share some of the things that we were doing on the road. I started it truly just for me. So I think there was no pressure initially because I just had no expectations. And then as, you know, it kind of, Womanista gained a following and, you know, people were interested and it was just, it became fun to do. You know, I never really felt any pressure, maybe because it was a little bit pre-social media in the sense of like constant sharing of Instagram, or definitely pre-TikTok. So, you know, there wasn't the same pressure to produce content in a way that there is now. So it really was just fun.
And Kaylee, you sort of had a similar experience. My favorite story ever is when I first interviewed you. I think Russell was just having his first number one, maybe. It was yours was just going number one. Mm-hmm. And I love you guys, too, because I love y'all because you, both of y'all are such powerhouses with your husband. And you started with Russell. He was the music, and you were always the videographer. And I don't know if all y'all know this, but Kaylee did all, like, you did two of his music videos. You did yours, the first one, which was an accident, right? Explain that, because yours, his huge music video, was totally an accident.
Yeah, we nominated for her own awards.
I was. For CMT Award. Actually, that's how we met, though, too. I did photos for Womanista. That's how we became friends. So
that's
I was the girl behind the camera. Russell had written yours, Blue Tacoma, all these songs that y'all have probably heard of now. And at the time, every label in town had said no to signing him for a record deal.
Isn't that so interesting how that always happens? And that's what, it's never a cakewalk. You think it's just so easy and breezy and beautiful, but there's always such a big backstory.
It is no joke. And I was like, you know what? I've done music videos for other people. Why don't I do one for you? But we were so poor at the time that I was doing photo video to, like, feed our family. And so the idea of doing a video for him for whatever reason just, like, didn't cross our mind. I don't know why. And then all of a sudden I was like, I can do this. I can make you a video. And sure enough, we made a video, and a thunderstorm rolled in and, you know, cost $6 in gas money and a prayer. And
you were, like, riding on the back of the tailgate.
Yeah. Our friend was driving the SUV. I was in the back with the tripod, and he's walking down a road, and I'm just filming him, and it's
so
crazy.
Talented.
It's crazy.
Thanks.
And then but you're right. Then you got nominated for a CMT award.
Yeah, I did. That was just so mind blowing to me because it was just me. I mean, I shot it, edited it. Technically, I directed it, you know, but I wasn't telling anyone what to do except for myself. it was fun, and it's really sweet. Like, now looking back, and then I went on. I directed, co-directed Blue Tacoma and Love You Like I Used To. And yeah, I'm just very much a part of the visual aspect of his career. And I love it. Like, I've tried to not and be like, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. But I just care too much. So
y'all have always been such a team.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Package deal.
Yeah, package deal.
What is it like starting from the bottom and now we're here with your husbands? Because all your husbands now, everyone sees them, they're on stage. Russell's playing Nissan Stadium for the first time this year. That's exciting.
I know.
Such a big deal.
So crazy.
But what is it like? Because I think that's the question everybody asks. It's like, oh my gosh, is your life such a dream? Is it so amazing? Like, you're married to these country stars. What is it like when you start at the bottom? One of my favorite stories with you, Kaylee, is when I first interviewed you and Russell. You guys shared a story about how y'all only literally had a prayer. That's what you were, like, hanging on to. Like, you're so connected to God. You knew God was calling you guys to do this dream. You knew y'all are a partnership. You knew this is what you're supposed to do. But there was no money. Every label had turned you down. It was not looking good.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
But y'all believed. And one of my favorite stories is y'all just kind of, like, came together and, like, walked around, chanted.
Yeah.
Like, can you share that story?
Yeah, it's a long story. But basically, God told us that this was going to happen. And we just were like, okay, well, we'll just keep praying until we see it. And there was a wall in our old house. And we would just walk around it and pray. And for whatever reason, walking made it, I don't know, more fun. And so we called it our Jericho wall. We would just, like, walk around and pray. And we're like, we'll just keep praying until we see it. And we're seeing it. So it's been such a crazy ride. And what it's like getting here. I mean, there's a lot of really gross truck stops, honestly. Like what is the come up like? I really just think about sleeping on seatbelts in a van with a bunch of smelly dudes, and that's the come up in my head.
You were the only girl on the bus for a long time.
I was. Well, and in the van. Drove the van and trailer for a good 5 to 7 years, maybe. And then shared a bus with Ryan Hurd at one point because neither of us could swing our own bus. So then it was me and so many guys. I think there was like 13 boys on that bus.
One of like 6 kids?
Yeah, I have 5 older brothers.
So this is normal.
I really feel I was bred for this to survive it. I'm like, wow, this is super normal to me, and it's not a very normal life. But yeah.
What is it like for you, Cassie? Because Lady A exploded. I mean, when they came together, it was instant. I will never forget, like, literally, like, seeing them in the office, kind of forming this thing. They played a show at Exit Inn, and then, like, they had multiple... They kind of had the dream happen. They all were individual artists. Like, Hillary and Charles were individual artists. Dave and Charles were together. And then they came together, and it was like, whoa, the town stood still for Lady A. And you have been on that ride the whole time. What is it like being on this journey from the bottom to superstardom to having Need You Now, which was like one of the biggest songs ever in country music? What is that experience like?
So I grew up in Nashville. I don't know if there's any native Nashvillians here. So I grew up with the music business around me. My mom was in the music business. And when I met Charles, he was unsigned. He and Lady A had been together for a couple months. And, you know, I met him and we, you know, we're instantly dating, and, you know, he's like, you know, I'm trying to do the music thing, and I'm kind of like, okay, you and everybody else, great. I mean, I believed in him, obviously, but when you grow up in Nashville, you know, you've seen that dream come and go a lot of times. So then, you know, we're dating, and the gift of having that time together before he was signed is that we got to be together, and we got to know each other, and so we had a good foundation going into, you know, their ride. And it did. Like, when it started to happen, I mean, it happened. And we got married in July 2009, and Need You Now came out the next month. It came out in August. And so from then on, it was just like holding on for dear life, you know? And we're going to see each other, you know, when we can. And it was just a rocket ship that was fun to be on, and also you're exhausted. You know, I think that people don't talk about the rise, the part of it that is like, you're incredible and you're getting all this success and it's, you know, it's happening and it's exciting. But you're also not seeing much of your family and you're not getting to be with your friends and you're giving up a lot of the regular. So for us to have had each other in that moment was just amazing. I remember they were performing on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Oh my gosh, did you meet Oprah?
I did meet Oprah. It was in February, and it was during the Winter Olympics. Like, and Shaun White was also on the show, and I got to sit next to him in the audience for a period, and I was really excited. But, you know, there's moments like that that are just surreal that you are mixed in with your everyday. So it's a weird life. But, you know, very blessed and grateful.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
It is a weird life, and that's something I really love to talk about with women like yourselves who have seen this other side. We all think that there's something out there, that if we could just get to this other side, then life will be great. If we could just get all of this money, then life would be great. If we could just get the success, then life will be great. And a lot of us have a lot of trouble being content with where we are because we feel like it's so much better when we get there. You guys have gotten there. You have seen the other side. What can you say is the common thread of humanity through it all? Because y'all are so intact with your soul, yourselves, your own callings, your own purposes in this life. What have you noticed as you have started from being dead broke to having multiple number ones, playing Nissan Stadiums, chilling with Oprah Winfrey? I mean, literally everything that you can dream of, you guys have been able to touch it. What would you say is the common thread of humanity through all of these superstar experiences?
I refer to what you're talking to as I'll be happy when syndrome.
So many people feel that way.
Yeah.
I can just get this.
I think one of our greatest gifts in the come up was having friendships like y'all and like people we saw who did make it and knowing them so intimately that life wasn't any better. And I think it was one of the greatest gifts to us because we always knew it wasn't going to make us happy. And if we were waiting for that to be happy, it was just never going to come. And so I think that was like y'all, we've had such great mentors in this industry, and that has been such a game changer for us, I would say.
Yeah, and I think the common thread for all people is, you know, we all, as moms, you know, worry about our kids. We're all like trying to get lunch packed. You know, we're all trying to, you know, get our baby to sleep through the night. Sometimes it's just on a tour bus and a little bit harder sometimes. Yes. But, you know, the thread for all of us, I think, is that, you know, just as humans, we all, you know, walk through the same struggles that just might look different in situationally. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think especially being out on the road and meeting fans and, you know, we're all just kind of walking each other home, you know?
I also love that the country music community is so strong.
Yeah.
And that is something that I feel like is so incredible that maybe is different in this industry than others because truly everyone roots for each other. I have never felt a vibe of people wishing you to fail. If anything, it's like, yes, I want to win, but like, let's do it together. How can we help? How can we lean on each other? What can I share with you that I've lived through that can help you? How has that community, what has the community been for you guys? What is it like for you guys as founding wives of this country music community?
Well, I mean, Cassie Kelly's my hotline. I call her.
She's the first lady.
We call her the first lady of country music. Like, it's just you have these people, and I think going back to what you're saying about the common thread is, like, we were just on tour with Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, and you're like, they're just people.
And
like,
wait, how was it, though, really?
Unbelievable.
I mean, like,
unbelievable.
Are they amazing?
Yes.
Are they everything you dream of and more?
Yes. Okay, and Tim McGraw never wears a shirt.
Oh, thank God, right?
You know?
I mean, he doesn't need to. He worked hard for that body.
Well, I know, he does.
Yeah.
He works out three times a day, guys. It's no joke.
So you work out three times a day?
Yeah, three times a day. But it just made it weird to hug him, you know? Like, I'd be like, hey, you know? I'm like, I'm not going to hug. You don't have a shirt on.
I know.
No, but, like, I think that is part of it is you meet these people that were heroes of yours. And they're just, same thing. Like, their kids are coming home from college. And they're talking about being mom and dad. And they're just people, you know? But, yeah, Cassie's our hotline. I think the community is a lifesaver if you're willing to be a part of it.
And I think that truly is, like you said, Caroline, a unique attribute to country music is we really do all champion each other. You know, there's room for everyone. You know, Russ's success isn't taking anything away from Charles' success. And so that, I think, whenever we, you know, perform at something that's all genre, there's different types of music other than country, I mean, that we recognize is uniquely ours in Nashville. Yeah. So that's just, we're lucky to have that, you know, and it was that way before we came along, and hopefully it'll remain that way after, you know, we leave, so.
Something that is unique for the lifestyle y'all live is you have a lot of people wanting in on your lives. A lot of people like wanting your time, wanting your energy, wanting to know every detail, wanting to get as close to y'all's lives as possible. How do you guys create boundaries to protect yourself, and what do you do for self-care? Because I have found the older I get, like, taking care of myself is the most important thing for me to be a good mom, a good wife, a good podcaster, and like that is a big priority that I just have recently come to realize. And I know that you guys prioritize that as well. How do you protect your energy and protect yourself and have self-care?
For me, which this, you know, was an on and off practice for a lot of my life, but really sort of in the past 2 years, I'm sure a lot of us sort of discovered more of our groundedness and spirituality in the past 2 years, but you know, the daily practice of quiet time in the morning, starting my day with God, with prayer, you know, before I even, you know, take care of anybody other than myself and my family, I spend that time with God. And that is just a grounded way that no matter what, it just starts me in the right direction. So from a self-care perspective, I mean, that has become a non-negotiable. And even my son, you know, he'll know like, oh, if mommy's in her quiet time, like I need to let her finish that. So that has been just a gift to me. And I'm sure a lot of people hopefully in the past 2 years have found that within themselves again.
Yeah, totally. Ditto to that. And I think I'm really protective. I'm aware that my time, my words, my everything, it's an investment into something. And if that investment does not have a return, I stop investing.
Oh, in okay. So how can you feel that when it doesn't have a return? What does it feel like?
There's friends that are reciprocal. Like this is a friendship. These are friendships that are reciprocal. It's not just giving. And there are scenarios that you should do that. Don't get me wrong. But it's not a regular occurrence. It's not constant. I'm not giving to someone every day, that just takes. And just realizing who the people are in your life that give back and bring you joy and make you happy. And I realized at one point that these like surface level friendships were getting a lot of my time, and just because they would initiate or whatever, and that's totally great. But like I hadn't had coffee with my maid of honor in over a year, you know? And I was like, I need to restructure my life that the people that I also need back are getting my time and I'm getting theirs.
I think part of that too is, you know, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else.
That is huge, yeah. Cassie. And I think you need to say that one more time for everyone in the back. This is like some major wisdom because that is so true.
Right. When you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else.
Yes.
So I think especially our time at home is so limited during a touring season. And you know, just to echo Kaylee's point, like when the things that you are saying yes to, they have to really fill you because you're saying no to a lot of other things when you say yes to that. So, you know, that's kind of been my baseline too, is like, okay, if I'm going to say yes to being with this person or having lunch, you know, I'm saying no to maybe it's a workout, maybe it's, you know, playing outside with my son, maybe it's, you know, Charles and I going to lunch. Like it has to equate to something special in order for me to say yes to it.
I am just now realizing that giving someone your time is a privilege to give someone your time, because our time is all we have. And if we are, I used to say yes to everything. Like because I didn't know what I wanted yet. It took me forever to figure out like what fuels me, what do I actually want? I think becoming a mother has been a huge part of that, which I'm sure y'all can attest to. But it's like, I don't want to spend my life just spreading myself so thin that I'm actually not enjoying what I really love in my life. And I think that that has been something big, identifying what we really love. And I do a lot of like journaling and list taking all the time about myself, like personal inventory, because sometimes I'm like, what am I spending my time on? Is this fueling me? Is it advancing myself, my family, my child? Is it helping my life in any way or helping others? Or is it just taking energy and then you're shutting the door on what really matters? And you have to get intentional.
I actually had a dream about this the other night, that I was on like all these different teams and I was in a play and like all, I was doing so many things. And I walked on stage with the script in my hand on like opening night because I hadn't been to rehearsals. And I walked off that stage and I was like, I have to quit some of these things because I'm losing at everything. I'm not doing any of them well because I'm trying to do all of it. And I very quickly adjusted my life and was like, I have to say no to that. I have to say no to that. I have to cut this out because the things that I am doing, I'll never win at because I'm an Enneagram 3 if you're into the Enneagram. So winning is important. And I was like, I can't do it all. I can't. And I think owning that is life changing. You're like, I can't be everything to everyone else.
And it was honestly life-changing for me to realize, too, that sometimes you say no to things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not always easy to make that choice. Like, oh, man, I'd love to go do that, and I miss you, and I want to see you, or I really want to do whatever it is. And I say no to it because if it's not also supporting my three top things, then it's a no in a busy season.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. So let's talk about Coffee with Kaylee. If y'all haven't checked out Coffee with Kaylee, she has launched a podcast, sweet, which is phenomenal. And you're so conversational. You're so in tune. Both of y'all are. But you started just sitting down and chatting with people in your life. Talk to me about what that experience has been like. The first one was your husband, Russell, which I listened to the whole thing. I was taking a bubble bath and I was laughing my head off because y'all are so cute and funny together. But it's so real. Talk to me about that podcast, how it started and what it has brought into your life.
Well, it started as kind of an accident. It was my husband was on radio tour, so he was gone like 4 days a week, and we were on tour with Thomas Rhett at the same time. So it was just like the craziest season of our lives. And he makes fancy pour over coffee. And if you know what that is, it's like a Chemex and it's like the filter and it's a whole thing. And there's a scale involved. It's like a chemistry experiment. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to film myself attempting this because I'm going to fail and it's going to be funny. And I was like, I'm just going to film it. And so I put it on the internet and then I started sitting because I was alone and bored and I wanted to talk to somebody. So I started like talking to my Instagram stories and it was like Coffee with Kaylee. I only did like 5 of them maybe. I don't really know. And then fans started showing up to shows with a coffee mug that said Coffee with Kaylee or will you sign my coffee mug? And I was like, what is happening? What's going on? And then I was like, you know what? I really have some of the most wonderful friends on the planet. I feel so grateful and blessed to have these people in my life. And especially after 2020, I was like, so many people need community and I have a great one. So I'll just share them with everybody. And I was a serial coffee getter, coffee date friend. And so I was like, how do I have coffee with as many people as possible? And so just hit record and it's just having coffee with me and my friends. And both of these girls need to come on it. Looking at you.
I just want to affirm you too, Kales, that you are so life-giving. And every podcast episode of Coffee with Kaylee, I just leave feeling like re-energized and grateful and grounded. And you do such a good job.
You're so sweet.
I think we've got some people who are big fans out here. Yes.
Thanks for listening. That's very nice.
What is y'all's relationship with social media? Because this has been something I have struggled with massively. I feel like I'm finally getting into a rhythm because I have this incredible intern, Allie, in the audience right there. She's going to be really shy that I'm calling her out. Woo-hoo. But she's helping me make content. But I have struggled with like sharing my life and like letting people in. What is y'all's relationship with it? How have you created a healthy balance with social media? And how do you use it to promote your purpose?
I personally try to scroll not very much. I'm not always good at that. But I'm of the opinion that in the world there's a lot of really dark things and a lot of really heavy things. And so if the people of light retreat from social media, which are the type of people that actually do retreat, I have a lot of friends who are like, I'm giving it up. And I'm like, no. You are for good. You are for light. Like, keep putting it out there. And I think there's definitely a fine line. People will never know how much you don't share. because it'll seem like you share so much. I'm like, but there's plenty that is personal and private in my own family, and it's just for me, and no one will know those moments because I don't share those moments. But overall, we try to be, I don't know, I enjoy it, but it's photo video. For me, it's like creating stories and telling stories, and I think it's fun. But if you don't have a healthy relationship with it, it's a good thing to back away. The mute button is your friend. Also, unfollow. I think that is a very powerful thing. If you find something taking your joy, or you're comparing yourself, or unfollow, mute, whatever you have to do to keep it a healthy space for you.
Yeah, and I think that it's social media is evolving so quickly too, that it's kind of a constant battle to have balance. But I like Kaylee, I'm really intentional about my boundaries, and that, like, okay, if I'm going to post something, then I immediately get off of Instagram. You know, I don't sort of sit around and like see if anybody's going to comment or interact. It's like, okay, I'm posting this because this is something that I want to share. And then that's it. Like, I really try to check myself of like, okay, why am I going to post this? And
what is your why?
Right. What's my why? And if it's just sort of to get validation from the internet, like, it's a no. And I think especially too, as you know, we're all moms, I really want to be mindful with the amount that I have my phone out and looking at it in front of my son. Because, you know, we want our children to be boundaried as they grow up and are sharing. And it's going to be really hard for them if they're not seeing us do that as well.
How has motherhood changed you guys?
I say no a lot more.
True.
Lot more. Well, to him, but also.
Just in general.
Just in general, like, don't climb the stairs. But no, yeah, there's a lot of protection for our family time, and it can be a wonderful thing, like we were saying earlier. But if we haven't had time alone as a family, it doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter whose birthday it is, it's a no.
I think that, you know, obviously when a child's born, a mother's born too, and it's a whole new life. I don't know that there's any way that I haven't changed since becoming a mom. And I've also never been so scared in my entire life, you know, that you just don't realize when people say, you know, it's like just wearing your heart on the outside of your sleeve. And that's very true, especially I think as a boy mom, and they're constantly just like on the verge of doing something insane. So, I mean, I don't think there's a way that I haven't changed.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm going to do one more. I'm going to wrap you guys up with Leave Your Light. What do you guys want everyone to know? And then we're going to do a couple Q&A before we wrap this podcast up. We're so glad that you all have come and joined us today. This has been amazing. Leave Your Light. What do you want everyone to know?
I was not prepared for this, and I should have been. Do you want to go first? We're both just pondering.
I wasn't prepared.
Just first thing that comes in mind. Doesn't have to be anything profound, but it will be profound.
You know, I think just, especially in the past 2 years, it's to try to, like, not take everything so seriously because, you know, stuff, whatever you're waking up with today, you know, is going to be changed tomorrow at some point. It might be incremental or it might be in a big way, but, you know, I think that just, like, we're all doing our best and just to try to... you know, really just like treat, I mean, this is the golden rule, but like treat everyone how you want to be treated, mm-hmm. I think is like a good way to be.
That's a good one. That's a good one, Cassie. I like that. Man, I would say just, I mean, you matter. Like if you're on this earth, you matter and you matter to God, you matter to the people around you and find what lights you up and run after that with all you got because you could have all the money in the world, but it still won't make you happy, you know? So you matter. I feel like you know that.
And from a worthiness standpoint, it's like there's nothing that anybody isn't worthy of.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that, like, especially as women, sometimes realizing our worthiness takes a minute. But, you know, I think that too, we're all worthy of everything good.
Yeah. Amen to that. And I agree. It is hard. I've struggled with worthiness for so long, but I agree with you. We are worthy and follow what you love. You matter. And just let's just live this life like it's our last because it could be, you know, every day is a good day. Okay, so let's have a couple questions. You got one. Come on up. There's a mic somewhere. I don't know where it is. Okay, right here. There's a mic right there. Let's hear what you got to say. Do you have a question? Anybody's got a cue? Okay. Okay, we can hear you. What is it?
Since I love your husband's music and what is now... something that when you think about like, oh man, I can't do this, now I can. What are you now not taking for granted that some people have and maybe you didn't ever know you were going to have and that you're blessed to have?
Well, touring for one, after the last couple years.
Amen.
You know, it was easy to be like, man, I'm so tired and I will never ever take that for granted watching him get to do what he loves after watching him sit on a couch for a couple of years, just really missing what he loved so much. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also health, you know, I think that like I don't take that for granted at all anymore, especially, you know, a healthy child. I don't know if that is answering your question and that it would be different if my husband wasn't, you know, who he was, if he was in a different job, but health for sure.
I love that. Okay, we have time for one more question. Does anybody have a question? Okay, right there at the front. Last question.
One of my favorite things about your podcast, Kaylee, is your gift of prophetic word and prophetic dreams. How did you realize that was what was happening, and how did you pour into that?
I don't really know. I was a dreamer my whole life. As a little kid, I had nightmares, and I think if God does speak to you through dreams, that tends to be a recurring theme, that, like, darkness was trying to make you stop dreaming, and it did for me. I was like, I don't want to dream anymore, and I shut it down. And then I realized it was God, that God can speak through dreams and does speak through dreams, and I just opened myself back up to it, and I asked him to show me, and I'm just figuring it out. There's no, like, real handbook. I think how God communicates with each of us is so unique to you and unique to me, and I think it's really sweet. Like, you all know I'm a visual person. I'm a visual learner. So he speaks to me in visual, that I get to see what he wants to say. And I think just asking the Spirit of God to come fill you and help you. And he's called the Helper. And so I just asked him to help. And he does. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, I told my daughter Sunny and Miller they could come up on stage because we're wrapping up. You want to come up on stage really fast and end this podcast for us? Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Guys.
Kaylee Dickerson, Cassie Kelly, here comes Sunny and Miller. All right, we're going to, and my husband Michael. This has been so fun getting to do this with you guys, and it is just such a treat to get to walk inside of y'all's minds and hear y'all's stories, hear your hearts. Thank you for sharing and taking the time to share with us in all the ways that you guys do, and especially right now. I love y'all so much. This
we
is
love
amazing.
You. So proud of you.
This was so fun.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like $1 million,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.